The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Your ultimate example is the devil. The thing that drove man down was disobedience, and it was engineered by a fallen cherubim. Paul began to write, and I like to start from here tonight. There are many scriptures jamming in my head, but this popped out as we're praying. For though we walk in the flesh, when he said we walk in the flesh, he's saying, it's not saying that we are executing the works of the flesh. He's saying we are in our natural body. That is the confusion of redemption. Because if Jesus was praying, he prayed to God that day, I said, I do not say that you take them out of the world. I say you should keep them here. Now that is the mystery. That is the mystery. If Jesus will get you born again and take you out, the devil will still be happy. I have taken this terrain. Even God is afraid to let his people be here. It will still be a victory in a measure. But the deal is not that you are born again and we take you away. No, the deal is that you are born again and then we will allow you to conquer flesh. And you will not only conquer flesh, we will allow you to become divine. That's the deal. And the devil saw it. Wow, is this the game you want to play on this earth? In my court? It's like you went to go and play football in another man's country. And then you go there and you want to win him. For goodness sake, he has home advantage. What did you come with? Because the devil over time has made here home. When he fell, he didn't just come here alone. He came with guys and prepared the ground. He doesn't trust Jehovah. He doesn't know the game Jehovah is going to play. But he knows that Jehovah always has one joker that you don't know about. He has been with Jehovah for a long time. He doesn't trust him. Amen. So he kept doing many things. He kept doing many things. Okay, he's talking with Abraham now. He's talking with Abraham now. What are they talking about? What would they do now to Abraham? What they do now to Abraham? He went ahead to start doing many things around Abraham. That is Satan. He doesn't really know it. So he begins to rattle everywhere. The moment you got born again, he's just wondering, he begins to rattle things around you. Hallelujah. He was doing all that ground play because he wasn't sure what would happen. Because in the garden, it was very clear that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. So when you see the troubles that Abraham had to go through having Isaac. And then the troubles Isaac went through. Do you know how many times Isaac dug a well and they closed, shut it down? The confusion there is the seed of the woman, is this really it? You know, the way Paul was opening it by revelation in the epistles, we show you that there was a shrouded thing around Isaac. Hallelujah. There was something around Isaac that was not fully known. Ultimately, then came one Jesus. And then this Jesus is now the seed of the woman. And Satan will not rest. He began to set the ground. He has done that groundwork. He has been on groundwork for thousands of years. God, just stay with Israel. Stay with them. Let me be doing. It's only Israel you will save. It's only Israel you will save. Stay with Israel. Let me stay with the earth. And he kept playing his chess, putting his puzzles, moving. Come attack Israel. Move them to commit sin against Yahweh. Yahweh will punish them. Move them out of their land. Move them to captivity. Stay with Israel. Be here. I will deal with you and this Israel. This warfare, we are about to get to the finish line. We are about to get to the finish line. If the game was stay with these guys, I will. You say you and Abraham, you and these people. Wait. When I'm done with you people, you will know that you sent me out and I have taken here. It will make the people to offend God. God, whose purer eyes cannot behold iniquity, will not say because of, Satan is watching us. Let me know. Even Satan will accuse him. So he will slap them. Boom! One, they will go to captivity. One slap, 70 years. If you try Yahweh in your life, you are in trouble. One slap, 70 years of your whole life. Then you come back. One more slap, they scattered forever. They just came back which year? Try Yahweh. When they say God will punish somebody, you say you don't use it to curse your enemy. God punish you, it's not a good curse for your enemy. Because if God punish somebody, the person will not see the end of the punishment. It's his children that will be talking how the punishment ended. So no man must play into that place. The reason why we are at home with sin is that we don't know how even an average man is struggling to run from sin. But the more we are struggling, the more we are inside it. Hallelujah. I got so excited when we began these teachings and I saw, wow, the place sin began from is transgression. So I should not pay attention to fighting sin. I should pay attention to where transgression takes place. If I can stop transgressing, I will stop sinning. For many years, the devil kept the church there. Kept the church with almighty revelations that he had. He kept them there. Let us see how you guys will do this thing. Remove your earring. They remove their earring. He said, worldliness, Abi. Worldliness. Worldliness. Be not joined to idols. My little children, keep yourself from my idol, Abi. No more. People packed away from their father's house because their fathers were idol worshippers. Gideon, is that Gideon or Jephthah? Leave your father's house, destroy your father's idol. People did that. Go and check. People did that and they thought they were doing God's service. Hallelujah. Or what are we looking for? We are trying to fight sin. But when you are cutting a tree that has a deep root, after 2 weeks you come, it has sprouted again. You cut off the leaf. It will die one day. You sprout again. You kept cutting the leaf until the tree finally was sprouting when you were dying. You all your life were not able to stop the tree. Because as long as a tree is cut down, if its root is still connected to the scent of water, hey, it will revive. So the trouble with us is not trying to window dress the soul. The trouble with us is to have some light going deep down to the root where the thing began from. Hallelujah. So the first trouble is stop transgression. Hallelujah. Though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let us see this man. You will see that his first sin was transgression. 28. Let's read from verse 13 down to 17 quickly. Hallelujah. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, move on. The pipes prepared in thee. Okay, let's go back. I have something here. Diamond, beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy what? Tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Hold on. That thing that they call tablets and pipes are laws and commandments, which was in every man. It was also in Adam. This day, God cannot make a man without pipes and tablets. This is a man that they are talking about. They are describing a man. Hallelujah. Though he is a cherubim. When you read that, it says, thou cherubim that covereth. He's a cherubim, but he's a man. And every man, is not made without pipes and tabrets. There must be pipe and tablet. And when you say pipes and tablet, it is not musical instruments. Devil used to sing, eh? Oh, Corrigan. He was the worship leader in heaven. You are not getting it. Worship leader, who? When we say pipes and tablets, we are talking about the laws and the commandments that a soul must be guided by. Let's read on. You will see that he was one that mangled the pipes and tabrets. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Till a corrupting thought, something that could corrupt pipes and tabrets, was found in you. Go on. By the multitude of thy merchandise. Reverend has shown us that it is thoughts. You keep playing with those things. Be careful, brother. Those things you are playing with, they are thoughts. You merchandise. It's not buying and selling with ₦2. ₦2, I collect ₦4. ₦2. No. It's a merchandise. You play with wicked thoughts. You are going to do something. Thou hast filled the midst of thee. What is the midst of thee? Your heart. You have filled your heart with violence. And thou hast sinned. Let's do that place again. Before you hear, he has sinned. Because we are all concerned about sin. Before you hear, he has sinned. He first filled his midst with violence. He first filled his heart with transgressions. Transgressions don't readily appear. Transgressions are not works of the flesh. Paul wrote about works of flesh. He said, works of the flesh, which are these, are manifest. Which are these? So, works of the flesh are the ones you can see. They have come to visibility. You don't start saving a man from works of the flesh. You start saving a man from transgression of the heart. If a heart is not humble to identify where he has transgressed, such a heart can never, underline never, receive remission of sin. God is faithful and just. You will repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. You will go back to it, sir. Lord, I'm sorry. You will go back to it, sir. Until the devil wears you out and says, God actually is helping you, you should not be going back to this thing. I like it when Reverend said yesterday, ignorance is one thing heaven is come to cross. Remission of sin is important for the ultimate intention of the gospel to be achieved. But that, as it were, very good, cannot be achieved if you don't know where you must first repent at. It's the heart. The first thing he did was that he merchandised with wicked thoughts. I will ascend. I will be to the Most High. I will go to the heights. I will sit in the temple of God. He was having thoughts, wicked thoughts in his heart, and was mangling and destroying the pipes and the tablets. He mangled the things that were perfect within him. He destroyed those things until he came to sin. That is the path that guy is leading men. Your baby is not even trying to sin. He just grows up and see that it's just natural with him. So a priest must have enough eyes to discern transgression. If transgression is not discerned, you cannot purge sin. Hallelujah. Therefore, I will cast you out as profane out of the mountain. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart. So it's clear that the mist that he corrupted is his heart. But the heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Be careful, be careful. We must be careful. By reason of thy brightness. When you start, you look as if you are smart. You look at, by reason of thy brightness. The people who started propounding that there is no God, it was his brightness. They tried to use their head to rationalize it and say, there can't be God. A very fine Christian brother I love so well in the U.S. said something jocularly. He said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It takes so much faith to be one. You need more faith to believe that there's no God than you, so much than to believe that there's God. But you see, when your mind is bright, it doesn't appear like faith is being extinguished. When you stay with the brightness of, by reason of thy brightness, it doesn't look as if you are extinguishing faith. Let's go back to that Corinthians. Hallelujah. Amen. We do not war after the flesh. Flesh shall die. I said flesh shall die. It's clear. It's clear. The end of it has come. The next verse, sir. The next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Move on. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against. Those exhortations are against the knowledge of God. Take note of that. It's against the knowledge of God. And then bringing into captivity every thought. Disobedience and transgression begins with thoughts. Every thought to the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And when you see obedience of Christ, just know it is obedience of the faith. And that is where my matter is tonight. Because man is always going to be a pack of laws. Man is always going to be a pack of laws. I repeat it. Man is always meant to be a pack of laws. Hallelujah. And laws, when destroyed consistently over time, empowers the individual to do further evil. Before this guy sinned, he corrupted himself by multitude of merchandise. Is it? Eh? He broke into a liberty to merchandise wicked thoughts. You broke the chains. What consistent disobedience does to a man is that you break the chains. You take away the limitations. Initially, it doesn't seem like it. But all of a sudden, the limitations are no more. You can now do anything. You just get to a point and say, it's my body. It's not what I like to do with it, I'll do with it. And it sounds logical. After all, it's his body. How is it affecting you? It's not my body. You know, when they are saying that, they are trying to break the limits. Break the limits. I can do anything with my body. It's my body. How is your trouble? It's my body. It's my life. Leave me to live my life. Allow me to live my life, oh. Have you heard people saying that? When you cry, they say, it's my life, Neo. Leave me, oh. Go and live your own. I'm living my own already. Allow me to live my life. What's he trying to do? He's trying to break all the limitations. He wants to cut everything away. He called it multitude of thy merchandise. It's not two merchandise. It's not three. He didn't say by reason of the last three merchandise. You have been doing it. You have used that space terribly that you can't even know what is wrong. When you hurt people, you don't even know. It's just the way life. One of those things that such is life. The Lord will help us. The trouble that heaven is about to dissolve, this is the time for it. And we must be willing to cooperate with heaven. Finish this work at once. We have been under this yoke for too long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take me to Jeremiah chapter 31. Because when setting laws, the faith, that anybody who say he doesn't like do's and don'ts, you know, the first thing the devil did was just to make it look as if church is about do's and don'ts. Yes, it's about do's and don'ts. There are don'ts in life. My brother, there are things you must never do in your life. You do them, you are in trouble. You will be remembering your life and say, hey, that is even if you can ever remember where you missed it. Life is about do's and don'ts. Don't allow anybody tell you. I had a principal when I was in secondary school. When he's about to flog you, he will always say, the best liberty is liberty under the law. Turn your back. Because every man wants to be free. But the best freedom is freedom under the law. But what is that enmity between man and the law? Who set man against the law? Why is there law? Why the limitations? Esuni. He doesn't want to see you live decorum. Just be responsible and just be doing. No, I don't do such things. Why don't you do it? He'll just stay with you. Why don't you do it? Until you answer him, he won't go. I don't know if it has happened to you. So this is where you now be going now. You will never now eat this thing now. Why? The Lord will help us. Let's see that. Just take me to 31. Take me to 31. 31. Yes. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Move on. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. There was a covenant I made with them in those days, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts. Take note. In their inward parts, and write it where? In their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Take note of the arrangement. I will put certain things in their mind. I will write certain things in their hearts, and I will be their God. Anytime you hear God like that, it's salvation. You cannot talk about salvation without having laws written in your mind and in your heart. You cannot talk about being saved without having done faith. A heart must have faith written on it for admittance to God. When we play with the writings of faith, it's because we don't understand that when man was driven to flesh, it was to further empower him to go against certain writings. What was in your heart initially were writings. A minimum standard of writing was in your heart. There's a minimum that a man needs for him to hear God and to receive salvation. When Adam was made, and God breathed into him, and he became a living soul, there was a minimum writing that was upon the heart. The example is clear. Moses, come up to the mountain, and I will give you some things. Moses was not involved in cutting the stone. Moses didn't know how to lift the stone. Moses just came and took what a stone that had been written upon. Friend, that was Adam. Then Moses went down and broke it. Now, you will have to bring your heart. The one I wrote for you, you broke it, Abi. Moses, go and cut stone. Carry it up the mountain. Two tablets, new, not one. If you can carry it, two, carry it. But maybe Joshua will help you, I don't know. Carry it up the mountain. When you get up the mountain, you will wait. I will come and write on it. When Adam was created, he had a measure of writing. That was the minimum level required to hear God and for salvation to begin. So when you see those symbols in scripture, my brother, let's wait and pray. Let God breathe upon it. It tells you that you are going to be involved in this business. You will bring your heart by yourself, sir. So when we are still struggling, the pastor said, is it possible like that? You don't understand. Don't bring your heart and see what will happen to you. Just be playing the harlotry. Don't bring your heart. That is why whenever we say, come to church, don't come carelessly. Wake up and say, Lord, today, help me to bring my heart. Joe, help what? Because every time we come, it is a chance to present ourselves. Present your bodies. Hallelujah. Because they must write upon it what was erased over time. We are writings. And the way they were erased was by disobedience. So they must write. And now, Moses, you will go and cut the stone and bring it up the mountain. Then I will write upon it. I will write my laws in their hearts. Go back there, sir. I will write it in their hearts. And I will be their God. Sir, if they don't finish this law, he will not be your God. He will not be your God if writings are not up on your soul. And it's clear, there's one man who has been designated to write. And if he's not the one writing, you are wasting time. Jesus must write. Hallelujah. And those writings are crucial. Those writings are crucial for salvation. They are crucial to bring God. Amen. Let's see Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Take us to verse 17. Let's see around that. Okay, go up to 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, take notes, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that ye may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. One of the inheritance that God has in the saints is the remission of our souls that are purged completely of sin. It's one of the things God will inherit. And riches of Christ will be communicated for that to happen. Just follow. I want to show you something. Amen. God has an inheritance. One of them in the saints. When he says saints, God, one of the things God wants to inherit in them are men whose hearts are pure. Men who have no guile. If you offer God less than that, it is a bad business. For goodness sake, his son was killed for this matter. I don't know if you're following me. It's a bad deal. One of the things Yahweh wants to inherit in the saints is pure heart. Pure heart. Sir, pure heart. Pure heart. Pure heart. Hallelujah. So now go to Isaiah 52 and let us see how this riches. Let's begin to see these riches. These riches. Amen. Go to, I think that's verse 7. Go to verse 7. Okay. He said, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. We were studying that in the morning teaching. That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. There's a good tidings. There's another good tidings of good. Now, until good tidings of good, which is the riches of Christ, is taught to a soul cannot become an inheritance of God. Until a soul receives good tidings of good. Good tidings is faith. It's Christ. It's the first expression, first level. But it is good tidings of good. Good tidings of good. They are the riches of Christ that must be communicated to a soul. Let's read on. Good tidings of good that publishes salvation. So it's clear that if a man does not receive riches of Christ, he cannot receive the publishing of salvation. I don't know if you are with me. I know I'm saying the same thing in many ways. Like I've said, if a man does not have the writings on his soul, he cannot receive salvation. I'm showing you other scriptures. And other instances. If a man does not receive good tidings of good, which are actually riches of Christ. Riches of Christ make you ready to be inherited by God. You cannot have God coming to you. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 61. Those scriptures that we have been playing around lately. Let's just see it. Let's just see it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I like that. Good tidings unto the meek. It will take meekness for a man to repent. It will take meekness for a man to admit transgression. It will take meekness, and you cannot be meek without good tidings. So it's clear. Let's stretch it out. Good tidings. Good tidings of good. Is only going to be given to the meek. The meek were made meek by good tidings. So good tidings must produce meekness, which ultimately qualifies you for good tidings of good. anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Go on. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort them that mourn in Zion. I'm just trying to show you other instances that say that if God has not written on your heart, God cannot come to you. Amen. So it's very clear that what we broke were laws, and we must fall in love with laws now. A soul must fall in love with laws, though. A soul that wants salvation must like the laws of God. That should be Acts chapter 26. Paul recounting his experience. 18. 26:18 on the road to Damascus. Go there. Now let's look at this account again and see. You don't find it all over scriptures. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness. Go to verse 17. Go to verse 17. Go. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes. To the Gentiles I'm sending you, to open their eyes. Remember, I was praying for the Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Why is it important to turn them from darkness to light? Because light is what makes imagination. Darkness is also under light. So to turn them from one imagination to another, to have ability to conceive another imagination. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. To turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, who ultimately is the one who is driving flesh. Is a power. And the power of Satan is locked in disobedience. He explains why you should disobey. When they preach it, you just be like, it's true, but it's hard, Joe. In fact, I don't even like the way he talks. If it's another pastor that said it now, that one knows the way Pastor Disney will say it. You just know that, you should just do it. The way he says that, you are not, it is Satan that's negotiating with you. You know, over the week, Pastor Disney was telling me, say, Brabile will say, don't negotiate with the flesh. There's only one thing you do to the flesh. Crucify it. I said it's true. The flesh is a powerful negotiator. He will tell you, this is the way they have killed me now. I wish you didn't come to church today. Okay, we have come. Okay. But, okay. We'll move from here to here. Is that okay? So all this one now, just this one is okay. Flesh is negotiating. It's still negotiating his existence. Don't die finished. What will you gain by dying finished now? Is it that thing the pastor said, you will now die finished because of it now? That's pastor. Is that the way they used to do in his house? That's pastor. That's pastor's house. Let them be doing it first. See how they will do first before you will do your own. Flesh is negotiating with you. He's just telling you, just take one step. Don't go all the way. And then you take one step and it looks like, we have changed now. We have changed. We are changing. Sir, we are changing. We are not where we used to be before. You that should have died. Flesh. Don't negotiate with flesh. Crucify it. When he's talking, just, okay. Are you true? Jalo. Gallows. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And inheritance among them which are sanctified. And you know, you can't receive forgiveness of sins. This one is talking of actually remission of sin. You can't receive remission of sin without repenting, without identifying transgression and repenting of transgression. For you to receive forgiveness of sin, you would have to open your eyes. Amen. You need spirit of revelation to identify transgression. So that matter is strong. If they leave you to yourself, you can never identify it. Paul had to pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, so that you can receive remission. As I don't cease to pray for you, anytime I remember, Ephesians church, oh Oluba, your eyes of understanding, that's I'm praying. Every time I remember you, I'm praying that let them open your eyes. If only they can open your eyes, one thing you will discover, you can identify, is the deception. The deception that have kept you in sin. Because that sin is there because of blindness. I mean, you are enlightened naturally, but it is still there. Because that is not a blindness. There is a blindness that happened to man by reason of disobedience. Amen. So the matter is strong that an apostle has to pray for you. Some of us have that prayer. We have not prayed it. And they say you should be praying Pauline prayers. Pray for Pauline prayer. But anytime you are praying, you see, when you open Bible, you can see more revelation. The reason Paul was praying, please go back to Ephesians, let's see. The reason Paul was praying, sir, is so that they can have enough sight to identify sin. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope. Secondly, that he may know what is the riches. That is the place. And I said to you that one of the riches God wants to inherit in the saints is a pure heart. A pure heart. Which is not possible, sir, without remission of sin. Remission of sin is not possible without identifying transgression. A man must be empowered to see it. This was where I committed the sin. This was the first sin I committed, was that I logically reasoned why I should do it. If you go to the works of the flesh, are manifest, which are these: fornication, adultery, witchcraft. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Move on, sir. Hallelujah. None of these things, can you go on, sir? None of these things happen by accident. All of them are, first of all, premeditated. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder. That somebody kills somebody's, the works of the flesh made manifest. Flesh is she telek. Oti bereshe. He has been working in you. He has been working in you. He just became manifest. We just saw that. Hey! He has been sleeping with flesh. Ha! Nobody takes a gun and just kills somebody. Flesh has worked. No matter how the earth is, it has not gotten to the place where you pass on the road and just see a fine girl and jump for her. Has it come to that point? No, if you happen, they will say you are a beast. Even the earth that doesn't know God will take you and incarcerate you. You should not live among men. Yes or no? So a man will force, like Jesus will say, he will look upon a woman to lust after her. It is somewhere it started from. In your heart. In your heart. You first looked upon her. Then you left. And you reconceived her in your heart. And then you lusted after her in your heart. So we will not judge the fornication that happened. We will start from where you lusted. No, the law was broken when you covetously took her. She was not given to you. You took her. That is lost. It's not your own, but you say you want it. And you don't want to hear. You must take it. So you went and finished the work in your heart. So when you are sleeping with her, don't be crying to pastor. Pastor, I don't even know what happened to me. I just said, let me pass. And just say, is it good that I'll pass a sister's house and not say hello? I now say hello. She now said hi. So where the work started from is not hello and hi. But you can be praying, oh God, why did I say hello? Why did I say hello? Or yeah, oh yeah, me. That is not where the thing started from. Where your repentance will start from is from where you looked upon her with intent to lust. Are you getting it? That is where your repentance must start from. If your repentance does not start from there, you will go back there again. The Lord will help our hearts. What the devil is playing, he has played it for many years. So he so believes in it. Let us start. Is she not beautiful? Look at her now. Look at her. Well, like Reverend said on Tuesday, you should be able to know she's beautiful. And also not lust after her. We should not unwoman her so that you will not be able to lust. You know what that means? Remove her earring. Because she wears it and she shakes her head, your heart is gone. Which that is where we should go to. Brother, why is that every time you just shake her head, you lose life? Brother, why? But you see, we will not go there. We will say, we don't want to see sin. We don't want to see sin. That was Old Testament. They don't want to see sin. Cover it. In the New Testament, they are not covering, they are removing it. And if they will remove it, you will see it. So Jesus did not say, come to cover. He came to remove it. And to remove it, we will go to where it is, the depot, and pack it. Hallelujah. The Lord will help our hearts. So that was the assignment given to Paul. Go back to Acts chapter 26. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are already sanctified by the faith that is in Christ. Hey, who doesn't want inheritance? Elohim, inheritance. Elohim, inheritance. You are not getting it. Life and immortality. Wait. Of course, it's my gift. It's my gift. Amen. But the process is clear. Sir, the process is clear. The people that will receive inheritance, which is Elohim. Elohim actually is the inheritance. Hallelujah. They must have been sanctified. Sanctification is not done impromptu. Sanctification is done by a deliberate obedience of laws. Hey, hey! Obedience, consistently, doggedly obeying laws. What is wrong with you? Leave me. You don't want anybody to distract you from obeying those laws. So you stay with them. You stay with them. Aaron! I want you to be a high priest. Woo! Nobody take this honor upon himself. He must be called. And when they call you like that, it is responsibility. Your papa die, you they cry. No be your pikin. Make your pikin die, they say, if you cry. Cry, make I see you. God tell you, say, if you cry, you go the tear ducts, you go kill them. Aaron, your children did wrong, I killed them. You want to cry, you want to break my heart if you cry. And Aaron cleaned his eyes and did not cry. Because those things are instructions. Ha, David heard that they have killed Absalom. Absalom, Absalom. David cried. Joab said, David, clean your eye. Clean and come and address the people. You know, I'm bringing up those instances so you can see responsibility. It's not play. Sanctification is obedience of laws, strict laws against the flesh. Strict laws. When you say flesh, that is my heart, me. You are giving me this to say, don't do this. What I have lived with all my life. But for us to receive inheritance among them, it will be those who are sanctified. Heaven will grant our hearts mercy in this season and empower our hearts. You know, when they are taking these parts of the preaching of Christ, I'm wondering, why did God keep it? You know, when if they start teaching you faith, the faith of the Son, you are excited somewhere. In fact, the revelation is sweet. You have to teach you faith, hope, charity. Hey, we are going to God at the word charity. Reverend said, Red. You will fulfill brotherly love. Hey, brotherly love. Okay, brotherly love for charity. Brotherly love. Ah, Lord, that's brotherly love. I feel what charity called. So this side of the teaching is very, very bitter. Nobody wants it. Even me, I don't like it. But it's a core thing that you must know how you fail. The way we fell was that and in fact, not just how you fell, that you fell and fell into somewhere. You fell and became flesh. And once something becomes flesh, it does not stop in flesh. It degenerates further. Do you understand what it means that man fell and became flesh? And God said, I won't strive with them again. That place I've entered. What happened? A man began to slide down the mountain. Down the mountain. So, whatever will stop that downward slide and pick you up again and put you on your feet and say, return up. Bro, don't joke with it. Don't play with whatever can do that. I mean, for thousands of years, man kept sliding downwards until Jesus came and by his faith took man up and put him on. Stand. Daniel said that an angel came to me and I was like a dead man. He touched me and said, stand. Jesus said, stand. He didn't only say, stand. He said, climb up the mountain. Go up. Anything, any devil, see the jealousy of Paul. He said, if me or anybody that come to tell you to continue sliding down, let him be accursed. Let the person, you know how Moses said, they remove my name from the book. They don't want to curse people. They remove their name from the book of life. Because it's a wickedness to make man continue sliding downwards. That should be ascending and going back to God. But the father cannot receive a child he has not chastised. A child he has not chastised is one that is coming back with flesh, coming back with rottenness and disobedience. And when they say chastise, because you're an African child, you are quickly seeing Cain. No, it's not Cain. It's some training in the spirit in strange territories. We call them uncharted territories. They are not really uncharted territories. Jesus have charted those territories, but they are completely strange to us. They lead you back through those territories. And they're expecting that you will obey all the dealings, all the discipline, all the instruction, even to your own heart. Ah, blessed is the man that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. David saw things. He swears to his own, I will get eternal life. And he's not changing. He's not turning. Come rain, come shine, and we get this thing. Our Father, we trust you tonight to empower our hearts by your mercy that we will receive grace to keep on obeying you. Can you raise your voice tonight and raise a prayer? Just raise your voice and raise a prayer. The Lord has just shown us how weighty these issues are. These matters are matters to give attention to. They are matters to give attention to. They are all over scriptures. All over scriptures. No man can come to God with flesh. They are all over scripture. All over, written everywhere. Tattooed everywhere. There must be that point where the foreskin is cut off before they enter the promised land. There must be that point. There must be that point where the heart is circumcised again. There must be that point. There must be that point. There must be that point where negotiation with flesh is no more. There must be that point. We trust you, our Father, that this will be the moment for us. This will be the moment for us. This will be the moment for us. This will be the moment for us.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.